Hey everyone, welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name's Kelly and we are going to dig right in today. If you're new here, I just want to let you know that we talk about flower discoveries. We have an interview with a special guest. A lot of times that is a floral designer, but we have all kinds of different people from the flower world here. So no matter what you do with flowers, whether you grow, design, create, sell, give flowers, if flowers are a part of your life and you resonate with the mission of loving the world through flowers, this is the right place for you. You have found a family to dream with. So let's dig in.
Hi. Listening audience, we are all sending you a big smile today, and wanted to share some flower discoveries before we get into a great interview and a Team Flower member article today. And I think we will start with Megan. What kind of new flower discoveries do you have to share with everyone today?
Well, I guess I don't know if it's technically a flower or more like a plant discovery, but did you guys know that you can have an actual citronella plant and you can use it instead of off or like some of that really heavy chemical spray to keep mosquitoes off of yourself in the summer?
Yes.
I did not know about this and I am super excited. Yes. Yes. I know. I was like, oh, this is a nice scent. You know, you might get it in like your cleaning products, but I always hated off. It just feels so heavy or like deep or something. But someone just showed me that you can get citronella grass or another similar plant and crush up the leaves and get the oil on your skin and on your clothes, and it'll keep the mosquitoes away.
Is it a cute plant?
So that's my
Does
new
it look
like.
Cute?
Well, not really. It's not the cutest plant, but it's more functional, I guess.
So you can
maybe use it in an arrangement if you're getting creative.
So I think there's a couple. There's a couple different things to me that smell a lot like citronella. So now I'm like really, I'm ready to like hop on Google and get into it, because there's the common mosquito plant that is like branded out there that's like a geranium.
So that's what I originally encountered too. And I've done a little bit of Googling and I think that one doesn't actually work as well. There is like an actual citronella grass. And then the geranium is kind of just like, I guess it's just like a marketing thing. It smells like citronella, but it doesn't have the same kind of oil property.
Very cool.
I mean, that makes sense because you can get citronella essential oils. So it makes sense that it would be a plant. I just never thought about that.
I had never taken it back that far. Like this started with a plant somewhere, and I could probably just own that plant and cut out the middleman.
I love it. That's awesome. Perfect flower discovery for summertime here. Oh, so good. Okay, Janine, what do you got up your pocket? What have you been learning about, surprised about in the flower world lately?
I was scrolling through Instagram the other day and saw a flower friend actually here in Boone, Mountain Laurel Floristry. They posted something that they have started selling, which is moss wall art. And so it's basically like a terrarium inside of a picture frame, but without the glass, and it has no maintenance on it. You could just put it on your wall and it's just like there's plants growing out of your wall. So then I looked it up to see if it was common, and there are companies that do this for like an entire wall, like of your home or of your business or whatever. They put moss on your wall.
Oh wow.
And
living wall.
Like, I would love to have one of those.
Now what about a living wall that has citronella? I guess you wouldn't put that in your home. You probably want that like an outside wall.
Yeah, that would be
probably
a really cool, that would be a cool patio living wall.
It would.
I was in England in the Heathrow Airport. I think it's in the Queen's Terminal. There is a departure gate where they have the whole room is filled with these huge living walls of plants, and I think it's actually called the Flower Gate. Anyway,
oh, wow.
Sitting in there waiting for the plane to come, I started getting really, really lightheaded, and I couldn't figure out like, but it was just when I like came and sat down in that space and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Well, it occurred to me that it was such a highly oxygenated room because of all of the plants purifying the air, that I was like kind of hyper, you know, like kind of just feeling a little bit funny because there was so much, such a high concentration. I think that the actual air was different in that room. You know, my body just kind of reacted to it. It was really interesting. So yeah, plants, oxygen. Don't get too many. Okay. What do you got, Amanda?
For flower discoveries?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can beat those things, but well, I guess it's not a competition here.
But we're all on the same team.
Yeah. So maybe to go along with stuff in and around your house, there's a really interesting flower farming article that we recently published. It's written by Rachel Nappas, and her cut flower farm is located in the city, but get this, it spans her yard and also includes the yards of her neighbors. So that's how she expanded her flower farming operation. So like she has like a micro farm in the city, but she's gone out into like taking over neighbors' yards and maintaining it there. And I just love that. I used to garden a lot with my neighbors, trying to start a community garden here where we live in the condo community that we have now. But yeah, so check out that article. I thought it was very, very creative use of space. I just love that.
And you stole mine.
I love that too.
I was going to bring up her article as well.
Isn't it an awesome idea though? Like she's...
It's amazing.
Rachel, you're so smart.
I was chatting with her on our Instagram because when we published that article, I was just in awe. She has like lush, like luxury garden roses growing on her sidewalk. Like, it's just incredible. Like I was so inspired by that article that I had to chat with her on Instagram about it because it's amazing. So yeah, if you guys haven't read that article, definitely go look it up.
I feel like the most inspiring thing. So my husband and I have always lived in really small spaces, and she has just like her yard space has not contained her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I just love how inspiring that is. Like if you've got like a plan and a goal, for yourself and your flowers, like just get creative with it. I love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So just good.
A reminder for everyone listening, all these links and cool things we're talking about, if you go to teamflower.org/free, that will send you to our free education site, and that's where you can find links and all of the awesome stuff we're talking about that goes along.
All right, today I have Allison from Accent Core on the podcast.
All right, really let's hop over and talk to our special guest today.
She represents a company that here at Team Flower we just have so much appreciation for. They're a huge supporter of the floral industry, providing all kinds of floral design containers and beautiful decor and things that are always always changing and always staying trendy. They just really believe in the power of new inspiration and you know, from those vatives to votives. They have sourced the globe or scoured the globe for a variety of cutting edge and on-trend products. So we're really excited to have you here today, Allison.
I am so happy to be here. Hey, Kelly. Hello, Team Flower community. It was so awesome meeting so many of you at the conference back in January. I can't wait for the next one. I left that conference on a bit of a high, so I'm so happy to kind of be connected with the community again.
That's awesome. We're happy to have you. And I thought it would be good today to talk about launches because mm-hmm. you guys are always coming out with new products and services. I really feel like that you've just as a company so beautifully have it's just this. It appears to be just very effortless and seamless. And I know that that means that when it appears that way, that there's so much work that goes into it behind the scenes, but just releasing these products out into the world. And I think about where our floral community is now and how, you know, some people who have had business models that have been focused on weddings, maybe a launch wasn't necessarily a part of their day-to-day just because of how that client interaction took place. But I think about retail shops, and I think about things like holidays or even an engagement season could be, you know, perhaps like a launch. But I was just wondering if you could talk to us today about what it looks like behind the scenes of a new collection launch at Accent Decor, and kind of as we're listening and processing, we can transfer that over into what it might look like to launch a retail line for graduation or for a Mother's Day, or you know, some of these lines that we could have in our flower business as well, and how they can kind of work in tandem. How's that sound? Can you talk a little bit more about it? What you do?
Yeah, for sure. I'd be glad to. Well, that's like the ultimate compliment to make it appear that it looks effortless. Like, my team is going to be loving that feedback because there is so much effort into it. But anytime we're on the cusp of a new product launch, I feel kind of like a renewed energy among the team. When you are a creative professional in our role or in our industry, or a marketing professional, you tend to look at the products for days and weeks and months before the general public does. So you get the good fortune of looking at everything in advance, and being able to release it into the wild is like the ultimate high. So yeah, I'd love to kind of talk a little bit about how we manage our launches, and hopefully your listeners can get some insights that apply to their business. So just to give a little background on how we manage launches at Accent Decor, they typically happen two times a year. The first in January and the second in the summer, usually June. And that totally reflects a pre-COVID world. Pre-COVID, we were in the midst of preparing for our June launch, and we've had to push it back just a couple weeks into mid-July. So we're not moving it too far down the pipe, but a delay nonetheless. And when we launch products, we launch them in two forms. One is the online and print form, which is really where I spend a good deal of my time in terms of managing the launch process. And the second is in real form in our showrooms. So Accent Decor has showrooms in Atlanta, Las Vegas, and Dallas, and we participate in the yearly home and gift shows. So when we participate in those shows, we are unveiling new product to the general public, where people can peruse through the showroom, engage with the product, touch and feel, see our beautiful vignettes and displays, and really have a moment with the products in the real form. So we have an amazing product development team. They really do the hard work and put in all of the TLC associated with choosing the product, because they're the team that gets on the airplanes and they fly to all different corners of the world to look at products, to visit our factories, to interact with artisans that are making them in places like India and China and Vietnam and Portugal and, you know, Poland, all over the place. So when they have done all their hard work, when they have curated the stories that we want to tell, when they've finalized the buys and received the samples and signed off on the product, our product development team enters the product into our system. And once that happened, that signals to us, we've got a new product. It's in the queue, getting ready for launch. So that's where it all falls on our hands as a team. So roughly 8 weeks before the start of a launch, we're really focused in all of the details in order to get the products live on accentdecor.com. It's a really organized system. It's about a task list of 30 key tasks and then subtasks beneath all of those tasks. So a lot of magic has to happen behind the scenes in order for the product to go live on the site. But with, you know, extreme organization and, you know, team management, we kind of get through it all.
You had mentioned whenever we were, whenever we'd first hopped on about the, like the renewed excitement, like within your team and kind of that process of you guys taking it from something that's been, you know, very behind the scenes to starting to, you know, bring it out to the front. Do you want to talk maybe a little bit more to like that unveiling and that magic moment, you know, that building the excitement kind of behind the scenes, and then how that translates out into real life?
Yeah. So it's funny. In our office, we have a system in which when samples are received by Accent Decor, they exist on this space in our studio. And it's out in the open. And if you happen to pop into the studio and you walk past the risers, you start to get a sneaky peek of some of the products that are coming down the pipeline because our PD team has started to organize things. So imagine over the course of a couple of days and weeks, as you peruse through the office, you might see some of the products start to build and build on the risers. And for us, as members of the non-product development team, it's kind of exciting and it's a real geek out moment because as you peek into the studio, you kind of get an idea of what's coming. Our product development team typically puts a meeting on the calendars for the larger creative team. And just to paint a picture, that includes teams like our digital and graphic designers, that includes our visual team, it includes our marketing team, and they unveil what's happening for the upcoming season. So within that meeting, they reinforce what our new trend stories are for the upcoming season. All of the Accent Decor products that launch at the time of a launch ladder back to a specific trend story. We consider ourselves as industry leaders on identifying trends and sharing them with customers and the general public to really inform our product selection and inform their customers' buy. So it's like Christmas morning. Like we're getting together and Sarah, our creative director, is saying, okay, here are the trend stories for the upcoming season. So most recently, our trend stories were Renew and Urban Habitat and Artifact. And in those meetings, that's when we learn about what's coming down the pipeline and we get to see the product in more story form. And once that gets kicked off to us, it's on marketing's hands to say, okay, how are we going to shoot these products to really tell a beautiful story online? The visual team is saying, okay, this is fantastic. How might I build some displays in our showrooms to best showcase the products in the physical form? How am I going to plot my photo shoots so that we capture really amazing content for different mediums like social media and landing pages? So it's a real renewed excitement whenever we have a product launch on our hands because we're like kids in the candy store. You know, we're all creative people and there's a lot of ideas and a lot of buzz in the office. So it's just an exciting time. And we get to do that 2 times a year, which is pretty cool.
Super fun. Now you had, so it's in the case of a floral design business, in many cases, it'll be that the product development and the marketing and the visual and digital design, all those things kind of happen within the same super duper small team. So mm-hmm. all those pieces are working together. But what I'm hearing you say is that the role of the product development team is to identify these trends and to start putting like a message or just a feeling behind the products that are coming out. And then you as marketing are taking that and are thinking through how to clarify the message and tell the story to bridge that gap between the product and the customer. Could you just dig in a little bit deeper into when you say story, maybe just some more explanation about what that is? Like, does it start with a word and then you're developing, you know, maybe this is more of like a copy development kind mm-hmm. of piece, but how does that like very tangibly spill out for the Urban Habitat?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I always find talking about stories almost kind of tricky to communicate. But once you get it, it's like, okay, I had to do this a couple times to get this right. But and sometimes when a story project is tossed my way, I think, oh my gosh, buckle up. I'm going to try and do my best here. And usually it works. But I think it might be kind of interesting to break it down to your listeners in a more tactical form so that we mm-hmm. kind of don't lose them. So on our end, so when a trend is identified and it's called Urban Habitat, the trend name is usually something that has been shopped between product development and our copywriter. So they've sort of landed the theme. And these themes really are supported by the products that have been bought to support the themes itself. So the products tell a really important story to make sure that it ladders back to the theme name, making sure everything is cohesive. When it gets into my hands, sometimes I like to look at things very tactically. So, okay, this is the story name. I need a couple of lines on what this story means. How can I package up this story in a slick way on marketing? Can I create a couple of headlines that would look great for emails? Can I create a couple of sub-headlines that maybe just add a little bit more commentary than just a single headline? What are some cool phrases that I could use for email subject lines that I can pepper into my social media captions? I like to sort of create a kit of messaging for each of the stories. So generally speaking, we have roughly 3 stories per product launch. That's all very manageable, but you run the risk at becoming sort of dizzied with the details if you don't kind of create kits and get lines of copy for each and just allow yourself sort of a toolkit of messaging that helps you throughout the marketing timeline. So that's something that we do every season is we work with our copywriter and say, okay, here's Urban Habitat. Let's work together on maybe a paragraph or sort of a manifesto, if you will, about each of the trends. And then let's break the trends down into really digestible chunks so that we can pepper in that messaging when we need it. And we don't always have to recreate the wheel. Again, we talk about these trends for roughly 6 months. So I don't want to have to recreate the wheel, you know, January, February, March, and April. I want to be armed for, you know, an entire season as much as possible. So that kind of breaking down of the story or preparing those toolkits of messages, I find really helpful. They allow you to be more nimble further down the timeline. And it just makes life a lot easier.
That's cool. Do you guys do any just like kind of thinking through it like as a calendar, do you do any kind of pre-launch talk, you know, little like preview collections before you do like a big major launch? Is it, you know, do you do like social, email? Mm-hmm. Like what are all the different components of like where people are hearing about and learning about the launch?
Yeah. So calendar planning is one of my favorite things to do because it's a real like geek out moment for me and the team. So we try to plan our calendar for the length of a product launch. So we try to be 6 months out. We usually revisit our original plans at the halfway mark. At the halfway mark, we've adjusted the stories and our plans to accommodate for new inventory levels, to account for any products that may be stronger sellers than we anticipated. And we'll revisit it to just clean up our plans and make sure that we're still relevant. But once we are armed with knowledge of the general product assortment and we're armed with what the trend stories are and the key seasonal messages, I get together with my team and we start to plot out all of our emails. For me and the way my brain works, I like to kind of look at email first and then I let that inform my homepage plan and my social media plans. We do like to tease a little bit about what's coming in the days and weeks leading up to our product launch. On Accent Decor's end, we're managing those teasers, if you will, with the messages that we do to support our market shows. So our product launches are directly tied to our market shows. So we're, you know, encouraging people to visit our showroom, to understand what they can experience in our showroom. And with that, we're saying, hey, take a look at these cool new trends coming. Sometimes we just share the trend name. Sometimes we give a little sampler of what they might expect. And we usually leverage social media and email pretty heavily to drive out those teasers. But I think that's a lot of fun. I like to let people know that we're working on something new, cool, and fresh and give them a taste of what they can expect without revealing too much. You know, it's like, I just like to raise curiosity levels a little bit. But calendar planning is so critical to what we're doing. And for, you know, depending on your business, the size of your business, you may not need to be 6 months out. for some businesses, being 2 weeks ahead might give you all the comfort level you need. So I encourage you to just kind of think through what's important. Don't let 6 months overwhelm you. But for us and our business and our cadence, that works well for us.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about something as simple as like, okay, let's just say that our flower business is going to really, like, we've decided that we're going to go hard on offering graduation bouquets for mm-hmm. people who, you know, now can't go to graduation, and we want to make it extra special and, you know, for people to feel like that they can be there and they can celebrate with people. And so how fun would it be to just shower your graduates with these gigantic, you know, presentation bouquets for great backyard pictures, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, arrangements for parties and, you know, things that are easy that can be, you know, picked up curbside or dropped off for these graduation moments and celebrations, things like that. Mother's Day, you know, just these kinds of events. I was even thinking of things that we could make up as floral industry professionals. Like, you kind of have to plant an idea in someone's head. You have to kind of like remind them that there's a need to celebrate something. Mm-hmm. There could be a special launch that you would do that would be about all about this sounds terrible, but like a breakup. Like, did you have a friend that recently broke up with their boyfriend or something? Mm-hmm. Like, they're, you know, and then there's flowers that appear. I remember one of the most surprising moments that a friend had ever told me was that I showed up at their work with flowers after their boyfriend broke up with him, and they never forgot it. You know, like this like 10 years later, they tell me this, and I was like, what? Yeah, there's all these really special moments that I feel like we get to be as floral professionals. We get to help people connect mm-hmm. with each other in these moments that really matter. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about, or I guess tease, you know, that, hey, there's a product that can fill this need that maybe you didn't even necessarily think about. But I think that we do all care, and we look for ways to take care of each other and to mm-hmm. express that we're there and we're looking. And so anyway, if we just circle back to graduation, I'm thinking like, okay, well, maybe, you know, 3 weeks before graduations are taking place in your city, or 4 weeks even, you're starting to develop this story around, you know, the concept could just be that it's flowers can be there when you can't, or, mm-hmm. You know, a ceremonial flower, like it could be like the ceremony of flowers, or you could call it all kinds of different things. But you were talking about like making a title like Urban Habitat. So mm-hmm. I think making some kind of title that makes sense with like your brand and your customer, just that story and those words that would relate to them. And then you had talked about, you know, what does that look like visually? How do we communicate it and style it? And what does that look like? We need that picture pack. And then we need that copy pack. And we need to talk about the products in a way that relate to the customers, several different versions of this more general customer. So maybe there's the science, you know, the person who's now going to college to study science, and we have right. the bug bouquet, and there's like, I don't know, there's like a bug as in a container that has a bug on it, or, so you know,
yeah.
these different things. And we can tease out that, you know, there's the person who's going for business, and this one has, I don't know, it could have this like mathematical equation represented in the way that the flowers are arranged. It could be like the, you know, golden, you know, I don't know, just like a different a special ratio, or, you know, the surface area of the flowers could be like a selling point. Like, there's this much square footage in the flowers. Sorry, now I'm talking about a math person. I'm
no,
totally like brainstorming off the cuff at the moment.
Yeah, I think there's I think creating a story right now, especially if you're looking for creative ways to sell to your customers, I think you could have a lot of fun with it. And I do think that we exist within a really amazing industry, and where flowers can fill a void, and we're existing in this really strange and uncertain time, and we all can't be there for the milestones and for the memories that we would like to be if COVID, you know, wasn't a thing. And if you're trying to plot for ways to account for that in your business, or to be planful, I think, you know, being 4 to 6 weeks out, at least just to brainstorm, is sort of the space you need to give yourself. Think about those stories. And then can you take some of the work out for people? Meaning like, maybe in a normal non-COVID circumstance, as an end consumer, you weren't necessarily inclined to buy flowers on graduation day for someone. Maybe that just didn't hit your radar, but this year more than ever, it feels appropriate. As a business, you might want to leverage your email or social media to just very clearly explain why flowers might be an amazing gift this year, given the circumstances we live within. And how creatively can you position those flowers? Can you ladder those colors back to the school, like the school colors of the school that the graduate is graduating from? Can the flowers mirror a story related to their desired subject matter that they want to study as they get into college, or the major that they are now graduating from in college? Can that be achieved with the flowers or corresponding accessories? And one of the things that I think is really cool, and I've seen this in and outside of our industry, is that businesses are taking sort of the thought work out of it for customers. So what I mean is, if you are a floral shop and you reside in a community that's comprised of maybe a few different high schools or a neighboring college, and you can remind people, hey, the graduation ceremony for, you know, XYZ school is this date. You're going to want to place your orders by this date. Just giving them the facts. Sometimes the marketing message doesn't always have to be, you know, dreamy copy and slick subheads. Sometimes it can just be facts. And that's enough to get people to say, oh, you're right, I need to log in and place my order. Or, oh, you're right, I need to cross that off my to-do list. And thankfully, laddering it back to Accent Decor, you know, we have a ton of products that I think that are youthful and fun and different and original. And as I think about a young person who might be receiving these flowers, there's so many cool ways that we can help make, you know, those arrangements or those bouquets giftable and really fun. So
many. And I was just thinking about a graduation card that I had received. It had this quote on it that I framed and I'll never forget. It said, one small candle can light 1,000. Mm-hmm. And I think about all of the new candles that you guys carry and that those would be a really fun compliment to have, you know, just along with, you know, a little inspirational quote or something like that. There's so many great, you know, supplementary little pieces that can go into a graduation kit or gift box or something like that.
Yeah. I love that idea. And we recently, your community might be aware if they've been tuned into your social media channels or to Accent Decor's, but a few weeks ago, we launched a gift box program on Accent Decor. And there's 5 curated gift box that our team has literally hand curated. All of the boxes are hand packaged, but they were created with sort of individual moments or personas in mind. So there's definitely products out there that are a little outside of the box for Accent Decor, no pun intended, but they feel really well put together and really thoughtful. And speaking of launches, this was a launch that came out of, that was born out of COVID. And together as a team, we got together and said, how could we, you know, create something or rethink our product assortment in a way that might help our customers communicate a need to their customers, maybe drive incremental revenue during this difficult time. There's no better time to send a gift or a package or flowers to someone, especially during this time, to say, I'm thinking of you. Right now, we're all craving connections in a big way. So we launched an assortment of products that we hope help fills that void a little bit. It's been really well received. I encourage you to check it out. I think there's some great stuff there. And, you know, it's a great way to gift in this time.
You know, I was thinking about how whenever you have a really engaged customer that you're working with on, you know, a sale with, a lot of times they might be in the frame of mind where they're thinking that, where if you reminded them, like you were saying about maybe taking some guesswork out of things, you reminded them that there's an opportunity here and there. I feel like these boxes would be really great. Maybe you have somebody who's coming in person who's doing like a fresh flower delivery, but they also have some family that would be in another state or city or something like that. These boxes that Allison's talking about are all drop ship ready. So mm-hmm. you can very easily bring them in, sell them, and have them directly shipped. Like if you're not shipping fresh flower arrangements in your business or things like that, this is a way that you can, you know, kind of further serve that client by helping meet a need that they have in another city, another place. And you can share those stories and see if they shrink cord, and you might be able to sell another one or two or three items depending mm-hmm. on, you know, what it is that that client has a need for at the time. So I think they're just a really easy kind of no-brainer way to continue serving people in different places. Before we wrap up here today, Allison, I was thinking it would be fun to talk about maybe some upcoming launches. Can you tease them just a little bit without telling us too much? You
know? Yeah, I would love to.
Maybe tell us just a little more than we can find out some other way. So we feel
100%.
Like
I've got been the more inside than happy scoop. To talk about it. Yeah. So a little bit of scoop that I mentioned at the top of our interview, and this is, I can definitely share this, is that the new products will be launching in July. And when the product launch happens and when you visit our showrooms, I think you're really going to love what you see. We have really awesome trend stories happening for the new product launch. Just think about really artful vessels and really beautiful neutrals and different washes and finishes that will really allow the flowers to kind of steal the show in your arrangements. For me, some of those, some of our new compotes and columns are real standouts, so I'm excited for those. If you are a plant enthusiast or a plant parent, or you know someone who is nurturing their green thumb, we have a really strong collection of plant-centric products launching, which are really fun, very giftable, so relevant for what we're seeing happening in the plant space right now. And I mean, I wish I had a few to outfit the corners of my home during this quarantine, because I would love to see some more green and florals in my home. So I'm excited about that. And I know firsthand that a lot of members of your community are really tied to the wedding industry. So we have some real showstoppers coming down with our latest launch for weddings, some really beautiful centerpieces, hanging pieces, votives, tapered candle holders, some dried florals, some good stuff happening. So I think your Team Flower community will be super excited about what we have coming. I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Very fun. Well, it's been so great to have you on today. Allison, thank you so much for being here. Before we sign off, I always, with every guest, like to just give you a moment to say just, I don't know, just a parting thought or a wish or a quote or just anything that you might like to say to everyone listening today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for everything that you do to help our industry, to help inspire people, to help give them useful and actionable tactics, and everything you do to help really promote our industry. We just think the world of it, and we're so grateful to partner with you, and you have just the coolest group of team members ever. So we're so grateful to be part of the extended Team Flower family.
We really appreciate you a lot. Allison, thank you so much for being here with us today and for just all that you are working on over at Accent Decor. We appreciate everything that you guys do to help and support us as we love the world through flowers. And all of you who are out there listening today, we are thinking of you, and we are with you and happy. Thank you for just inviting us into your life and your earbuds today. We're happy to be there with you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sandy Bastian, and I am primarily a mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom of five beautiful children. I have my youngest, who is 2 months old, and I do find time, now that I'm recovering, to work on my flower business, Plumeria Bouquets. Now, unlike the traditional florists. I do not work with live flowers. I work with silk flowers. And one of the main questions my brides and even just average people ask is, why would anyone choose silk flowers for their wedding day? So today I'm going to answer some of those concerns or questions, and hopefully you'll understand why I'm in business and why I enjoy what I'm doing, and why the brides love to have my flowers. So have you ever wondered why a bride would choose fake flowers over fresh flowers? I mean, let's face it, it's her big day, and most brides get married with the intent for forever. So why not invest in the best and get fresh? But as a bride who chose fake over fresh, I get it. Even now, as a floral designer who specializes in silk real touch flowers, I'm amazed by the countless reasons brides make this choice. After creating silk real touch bouquets for over 400 weddings across three continents, I've discovered why some brides choose this option over fresh blooms. Fake flowers offer brides advantages that cannot be found in fresh flowers. This is especially true for beach and destination weddings. Most of my brides are destination brides. When they contact me, their concerns usually center around color, type of flower, quality, availability, and shipping. For example, our Real Touch Plumerias is our signature flower of our company. Live plumerias wilt and brown easily, so most florists don't like to use them. This is even more true in hot, tropical, humid climates. Because these conditions are beyond her control, a bride who decides she must have plumerias will opt for fake and not fresh. This is just one example, but every bride I've worked with possesses a unique story as to why she chooses fake over fresh. And trust me, it's never because she loves fake flowers. It's always because she loves plumerias, because of the bloom's delicacy. The silk real touch version is the best alternative. Here are three main reasons why I believe brides will continue to choose fake over fresh. Convenience. With fresh flowers, a bride has the liberty of having what she wants, when she wants it, and where she needs it. She will never incur a premium if her favorite flower is out of season. When a bride gives a designer enough time, she can get the exact bouquet of her dreams. Her flowers are shipped anywhere in the world, and she can travel back home with them stress-free. Finally, if the groom or the bride loves fresh flowers but is allergic to the scent or the pollen, they can still have a real-looking bouquet without a possible allergic reaction. Time. Her flower can be booked 6 to 12 months in advance and secure timely shipping anywhere in the world. This is even more important for international brides. Since they get their bouquet early, brides can schedule a pre-wedding picture and also have her flower with her during her final dress fitting. She can receive a sample picture of her bouquet and make minor alterations if time permits. Quality. Today, fake flowers have come a very long way. Some of the best artificial flowers in the industry are called Real Touch, and they do look and feel like the real deal. More than ever, brides are convinced to have fake over fresh because of the improvements in the quality. Moreover, Real Touch flowers photograph beautifully. It's tough to tell if they're not real. While nothing can compare to the natural, fresh flowers, there is a growing market for quality fake flowers, notably silk real touch. Because of this new trend in quality, many florists are open to incorporating a few stems of quality silk flowers in their design. I've worked with countless brides and florists internationally to make this possible. While many florists are willing to work with real touch flowers, I can understand the hesitation of others that won't. However, there are those rare occasions where a florist wants to be prepared. For instance, the bride that must have plumeria in her bouquet, but circumstances make it impossible. Thus enters is an excellent opportunity during the consultation to introduce quality real touch plumerias to her as a viable alternative. Fake flowers will never replace the advantages offered by nature's fresh scented scenic flowers in the world of floral design. However, artificial flowers will continue to be a necessity in the industry for brides and floral designers alike.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.